Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The texts for the sermon are both the Palm Sunday gospel lesson and the gospel lesson that you have just heard. What a glorious day it must have been, that first Palm Sunday. All those towns and villages where Jesus and the disciples had been rejected were now behind them. The whole company of the town of Jerusalem had come out in front of them to welcome their king, waving their palm branches and singing their anthems, people casting their coats and their garments on the ground to smooth the road and to soften his way, the children chanting, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" Their voices rang out to all the people. The king had come into the holy city Jerusalem, to his father's house, to the praise of men and women and children, and to the glory of God. Of course, like the first gospel lesson that you heard from the back of the nave, was quickly silenced by the second gospel lesson, the reading for the Passion, so too were these triumphal cries of entry soon overshadowed by those same people shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." The children's voices were silenced, and the Pharisees' accusations were listened to. St. John tells us, at first his disciples did not understand all of this, but only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. It's not saying too much to say that the disciples did not understand what was happening on that day. They didn't know as they went through those gates into Jerusalem that one of their own was going to accept a bribe and betray Jesus. Peter did not know that he would deny him three times, or that before the week was over they would all abandon him and he would be dead. They thought that they were going into Jerusalem as high-ranking servants of the king who was going to claim his throne and restore the fortunes of Israel. The chief priests and the Pharisees also saw what was happening. They were afraid that Jesus had come to sit on his rightful throne and to cast them down from their positions of authority and power. They cursed him and said, "This is getting us nowhere. See, now the whole world has gone out after him." And they began to plot his death. He was on their turf, and they didn't like it one bit. St. Matthew also tells us that they tried to silence the children as Jesus passed by them, but so that the scriptures would be fulfilled which say, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise," the children defiantly continued their chanting. St. Luke also tells us that the Pharisees rebuked Jesus and told Jesus to rebuke his disciples for their blasphemous words. Jesus replied to the Pharisees, "I tell you the truth, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." On this day, this Palm Sunday, the crowds loved Jesus. The disciples strutted and held their heads high. The Pharisees were silenced by their own scriptures. And the triumphant march continued into the heart of Jerusalem and into the very temple itself. But this glorious scene also requires that we understand Jesus' words, "My kingdom is not of this world." By the end of the week, he was betrayed by one of those who had entered with him. The crowds who had waved their palm branches were now silent, or they yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." The children who sang, "Hosanna to the Son of David," were no longer allowed to watch what was taking place in Jerusalem. The Pharisees' false accusations and charges against him were no longer silenced by anyone, and even he did not open his mouth. The disciples no longer escorted him to his glory, for they couldn't even confess that they knew him. They fled away from him in total fear. This is what it means for us to understand Jesus' words, My kingdom is not of this world. Jesus had entered Jerusalem to take his rightful place, to be glorified and to usher in the glorious kingdom of heaven, but not in the way that anyone expected. His throne was to be the bloody cross from which he was hung. His glory was in his death, as he defeated sin, death, and the devil. And the kingdom of God was ushered in as his body was offered up and his blood was given and shed as a sacrificial offering for the sins of the world. On that day, there were no crowds cheering, no children singing. The whole earth seemed to be silent. But when everyone else was silent, the very stones were forced to cry out. And so it was that Mount Calvary shook and Jerusalem trembled while the hills bowed down and protested the crucifixion of the Lord of heaven and earth and the King of the Jews. Even the sun and the moon honored their Creator and Lord by refusing to shine their light on this sinful world. As Jesus bowed his head and gave up the Holy Spirit, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, for it would no longer be able to separate man from God. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs of the faithful were broken open, and the dead came out. When everyone else was silent, the creation cried out for its Lord. Where the living would no longer proclaim Jesus as King, God raised the dead to proclaim the good news. And so it was that the earth and all that is in it testified on that day to the glory of the Lord. St. John reports for us, when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." God is not left without a witness. Even if the stones or the dead have to speak, there will always be a voice. Today we began the service celebrating with palm branches and loud hosannas. Even though Lent is all around us and Good Friday approaches quickly, we cannot keep silent. For we know that the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem brought Jesus to Jerusalem for his death. But in his death is also our salvation. We know the pain that he suffered. We are able to see the cross that he embraced. We can look upon the crown of thorns that went on his head. We see his glory in his death. And we know that it is all because of our sins. We know that we are to blame for these things that have happened. But we also know that he went willingly and joyfully and embraced that death for us. We know that his death destroyed the power of death forever. We know that his resurrection assures us that we too will one day be raised from the dead. Today we celebrate with palm branches and throw down our praises as though they were garments upon the road. Tomorrow we weep, for it appears as though the devil and the sinful world have won the day. But on the eighth day, the first day of the new creation and of the new week, we will once again rejoice. Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Again he said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn in order that I would heal them." St. John explains these words when he says, "Many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." This Holy Week that we have now entered upon is about distinguishing the glory that comes from man from the glory that comes from God. It's about seeing that Jesus' glory doesn't come from those cheering crowds as he enters into Jerusalem. His glory comes when he leaves Jerusalem with his cross and he is crucified for the sins of the world. This week is about confessing Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of our Heavenly Father, even though it will most certainly cost us the love and favor of men. Members of Christ the King, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be afraid of the devil, of this world, or even of your own sins. For behold, your King has come to you, righteous and having salvation. He has come to you hidden beneath simple things. His praises have been sung by little children and elderly adults and everyone in between. The whole company of heaven joins in singing his praises. On this day, remember Christ's determined journey to Jerusalem, his triumphal entry amidst those that he came to save. But remember also his suffering and death at the hands of sinful men by coming again to his altar and eating and drinking his body and blood until he comes again. Remember his resurrection from the dead, the tomb that was broken open, and believe that you too will be raised from the dead when the King comes again in his glory. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.